In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are not of this world. This phrase races across my mind and lightens up my senses. Suddenly, many of Jesus' teachings come together for me. No wonder some of them cause me to swallow and take a deep breath. Maybe this has something to do with the king who sacrifices his life to save his people rather than require they sacrifice their lives to save him. As followers of Christ, we are called to live in the world, but not to be of the world we see. We are called to transform the physical world around us by our faith and lives. This means we will often be moving against the current culture around us, and this is not easy to do. This Sunday is called Christ the King Sunday, and it is the traditional day the National Episcopal Church focuses on restorative justice. Most of us have some sort of idea of what restorative justice is. In its broadest sense, it brings together groups that have conflict or broken relationships, gets them to talk, work out whatever elements they need to sort of set things straight, and restore that relationship and sense of community. Our national church works for the restoration of the relationship between Palestine and Israel, for instance. Both nations have similar views of violation and aggression of the other party. We hope through talks with both parties, some sense of agreement can be reached that will allow for peace for that region of the world. More commonly, we hear of restorative justice for crimes. Some define crime as a violation of people and relationships. Their thought is working out the issues between the criminal and the offended is often the best solution for justice and reclamation of the criminal. The person who is offended gets to confront the offending person and work out a replacement for what was taken from them. The offending individual sees the person they have wronged, and they have the opportunity to apologize. Therefore, both parties have a chance to heal and grow in positive ways. They have an opportunity to bring good from evil. One of the biggest bestsellers in years recounts the story of a missing child, the search for the killer, and the efforts of the family to reclaim the killer. Many of you have probably heard of The Shack. It is a gripping story that forces you to come face to face with God's teachings under very difficult, real-life contemporary circumstances. It challenges you in many ways in your faith to begin to actually apply what you read. If you have not read this book, I certainly recommend it to you. I read it as part of a Sunday school discussion class, and we had a lot to discuss every week. My attraction to restorative justice is wrapped up in my call to Ministry and Revision Houston. Revision Houston works, the catchphrase, they work with gang-affected and adjudicated youth. So we work with children who are in jail. When God called me to this ministry, I found young men who were afraid and alone. Young men who each had stories and lives that I find hard to even imagine. For some reason, God sends me out to talk to these young men who are not even 16 years old most of the time, but have already lived lives that thankfully you and I will never see. Some see them only as threatening criminals, a menace to our neighborhoods. But I meet a young man who was born into a family who never spent any time with him, or worse, and is usually desperately poor. Not long ago, I visited with a 15-year-old that started our conversation with, "No one wants me." And he was exactly right. His parents never married. They separated when he was about 3 and continued to have new interests and children. He did not fit into their plans and families, so they shuffled him back and forth about every 6 months or so from one state to another. He could not succeed at school with this sort of disruption. He was odd child out in a hostile world. With all the back and forth, he did not have one friend in the world. Well, the drug dealers in the area he was last staying made a friend with him and found a way to keep him busy until he was arrested. Then no one, not one person, came to see him. Lately, television and media like Facebook show compelling stories of animals who have been severely abused. They urge us to adopt and reclaim these innocent animals and to send money for rescue efforts. Well, I certainly support these programs. Part of me cries out and says, what about my kids? I see youth regularly who have suffered all sorts of abuse. And where are the campaigns to help them? Not long ago, I visited a 13-year-old downtown in the Juvenile Justice Center. For those of you who don't know, that's jail for juveniles, who have not eaten regularly in months. He was very thin. He had been thrown out by his mother because he did not get along with her customers. So he lived on the streets at 13. When I asked where he slept, he told me the laundromat. How in the world did you do it? I asked him. He told me he went to a corner, sat down, pulls his knees up against his chest, put his head on his knees, pulled his hoodie down over his face. After a couple of weeks of this, one of his schoolmates recognized him and told her aunt that she knew him and what was going on. Auntie was part of a drug running group who needed some good runners for delivery. So using her niece's bait, she lured the young man into the delivery business, offering him food, shelter, and her niece. He was also introduced to drugs to be sure he stayed around. Once hooked, it is very hard to stop, and many of our youth in custody are there for drug-related crimes. The dealers start you free or cheap, and before long, you are forced to steal or deal to get your drugs. There's a very hard element in that world who uses people as part of doing business, destroying lives and hope as they make money. One of the things that happened to me along the way has been seeing people in all of this, knowing them as individuals with stories and heartaches, learning that maybe they were doing the best they could at the time, learning that we needed to be focused on what we could do to make those lives of those around us better. Once upon a time, Jesus told me that to those whom much was given, much would be expected. God has given me a lot in this life, and now he has called me out of the door of my home and this church to love his people. Last Friday, I went with a small group of volunteers to the Clements Prison in Lake Jackson to help the staff of the Youth Offenders Group give the first ever holiday party for the juvenile prisoners in Texas. Every year, the youth are locked down in their cells 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for all the holidays, so the prison can spend time with their staff, with their families. These kids are housed in the oldest cells in Clements, which was built in 1888. This year, they decided to have a party for the youth to make that time easier for them. I go down there the first Friday of every month, so I know many of them. We hug and chat like old friends. As we viewed their talent contest, where they sang rap songs about their personal life or danced the latest dances, they looked like most of the youth of their age. They laughed across racial divides. They shared good times. When we go, we talk about the dreams of what they want to do when they get out. We celebrate their learning achievements. Someone had just gotten their GED. We become that adult voice who cheers them on and reminds them that, yes, indeed, you can turn your life around. And we want to be there to congratulate you when you do and welcome you back into the fold. Last month, we had a special visitor with us who wanted to come be with and speak to the guys. He shared by performing one of his poems about how he started out his life as they had and then spent time in prison. But when he got out, he followed his dream of being a poet and an actor. He now lives in Hollywood and was recently nominated for an Emmy. The guys loved his story of going to the Emmys in a tuxedo. He took the time to travel across the country to share with our boys the good news that can be theirs too. But on last Friday, my heart hurt as we left when one of the volunteers told me that one of the guys asked her to come down for family day that was coming up over the holidays. He told her he did not have anyone to come see him, and he really wanted a visitor that day. He does not want to have to stay up alone in his cell during those special activities. She hopes they will allow her to do that for him, to be his family. As part of restorative justice, we are called to bring hope to the offender, to aid them in reclaiming their life. On this day, I ask you to join me in getting out into the world around us, to get to know firsthand what many of those who struggle face every day. Jesus told us, "I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." This time of year, we will all be asked to join in efforts to give to those in need. But I also ask you to go to them, to get to know them, to understand their problems. We are called to be the light in that darkness, to call those in darkness to the light of God. Jesus left a better world to come to us, to save us for eternity. He calls us to that world, but he also reminds us we are to live the life God calls us to, here and now as well. As believers, we are not part of this world. As Charles Dickens says in A Tale of Two Cities, "It is a far, far better thing I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better place I go to than I have ever known. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." Let us leave today to bring God's world to this world. Amen.